Hey everybody, this week we are diving into the world of video games. We count down the internet's top three controllers, talk nostalgic tech, and accessories that amplified gaming. This is the Party Up Podcast.
Transmission.
Oh.
Hey, what's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Thank you so much for tuning into this week's brand new edition of the Party Up Podcast. I'm, of course, your host, Derek Bigmosh, and with me, as always, Mr. John Donadio, some beardy to love. What's going on, baby?
What's going on, my dude?
Nothing much. Also with us, Mr. Jordan 7 of 7 TV. What's going on, dude? Is that going to be your new shtick for 2021? Just game sounds on your intro?
Just those two.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Yeah. Stoked to be here. Brand new episode, brand new week. Yep. And we are diving into the world of video games. And we're going to have kind of a interesting conversation. Before we get started, just briefly for all the listeners, new and old, if you haven't already, make sure you check us out on social media. Find us on Twitter at Party Up Tweets. Find us on Instagram at The Party Up Podcast. And of course, you can search for us on Facebook by typing in Party Up Podcast, drop a like, or you can join our group where we share updates, memes, news, all that fun stuff. So no matter how you decide to do it, follow us on social media to keep up to date with everything show-wise. We have a lot of stuff in the works. We have a YouTube that's going to be released quite soon as I can have some time to my fucking self because I got a puppy, and that was a great decision, but it takes up all my fucking time.
Decision to do when we're starting a whole new year of all new stuff.
Yeah.
You guys got that bird.
According to your kid.
Yeah. Check out the YouTube for that reference. But yeah, all right, official business out of the way. Let's get started. This week we are excited because we have yet another special guest on the show. John, why don't you take the honors here and introduce your good friend?
Sure, yeah. He has been on the show once again for the second time here. This is a man that writes for all kinds of political stuff for The Jackal. He has his own little site there. You can check him out there. Our good friend, David Podaski.
What's up, guys? I'm now a returning champion.
You are now a returning champion.
Yes, you are. So thank you so much for joining us. So like I said, we are diving into the world of video games this week, and let me preface this whole show briefly by saying that this topic or these topics came up randomly when we were just kind of bullshitting online, and we were talking about playing games for content and stuff like that. And I don't remember exactly who it was, but someone had mentioned how I think it was you, John, how you despise keyboard and mouse. Like, you just can't do it.
Right. It's not that I despise it. It's just that I am so bad at it. Like give me a controller. You know what I mean? Like, right. And don't get me wrong. Like, I obviously, when I play games on PC, I try my best to use mouse and keyboard. But once in a while, like, especially for indie games that I don't really care about, like, I'll just put in a controller. Like, I don't need to sit there and use a mouse and keyboard. It's ridiculous.
I mean, controller support for a lot of indie games was created with that in mind. So that's I don't think that's a problematic thing of you to do.
No, not at all. But that, like I said, you know, John brought up that point about not being able to fucking use keyboard and mouse. And I agree to some extent. Listen, back in the day, and now this is going to kind of lead into where we're going with the show today. But back in the day, you know, listen, all of us suffer through the ills of carpal tunnel to get our fucking gaming on. But nowadays, you know what I'm saying? Nowadays, we have that luxury of the USB controller. And, you know, we can plug it in and play all our favorite games, old, new, the whole nine, if we're on PC, and have that accessibility. You know, obviously the consoles all have their controllers and everything like that. But it really was, I guess, for lack of a better term, a game changer because you felt more comfortable sitting in front of your computer, and at least I do anyway, and using that USB controller sometimes instead of having your fingers all cramped up on the WASD keys and, you know what I'm saying? And then, God forbid your mouse goes over the smallest crumb on your mouse pad and the laser, you know, makes you miss that shot you're trying to, you know, it's the craziest thing sometimes with the mouse and keyboard situation. But, like I was saying, you know, we were talking about that, and I started thinking, and I posed this question. I said, remember how, if you think about PCs and, like, the USB controller, that would technically be considered an accessory to your PC. That doesn't, you know, isn't something that comes stock with it. It's something you have to buy third party for the most part. And it's something that you use to amplify your gaming when it comes to PC. So I started thinking, I was like, let's think back. Think back to all the different accessories from the past that, you know, we went through. Like, it's crazy how from the beginning, you know, NES, SNES, and everything like that, you know, there's just a line. Like, it not just came down to, like, your console. Like, we've had many conversations here on the show about, like, we did the console wars episode not too long ago. It's not just about that. It's back in the day, it was about which system came with, like, the coolest accessories. And even now, even the later generations, we see that. And then also a big thing was how consoles and the companies that would produce these things prided themselves in their controller design. Like, controller design is, like, one of the biggest things, especially, like I said, generations ago when it comes to gaming, because that made or broke the sale of the system. Because if the controller didn't fucking look cool, if it wasn't functional enough, or it just wasn't unique enough or original enough, people kind of looked at it and was just like, whatever. So on today's show, that's basically what we're going to be talking about. We're going to go through the generations of controllers that we've seen, and we're going to go through some of our favorite accessories that helped or may have actually hindered our gaming experiences when it came to, like, the older systems and stuff like that. Yeah. I'd like to start off with this. So I went to the interwebs. And I posted up the question, and I said, hey, guys, we need to ask the hard question right now. Who had the best controller out of all of them? Like, let's make a list here. Let's see what you guys say. So through Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, I compiled the top three controllers throughout the generations. So we'll go through that. We'll go through our own. And then I think we'll touch on to the accessories that made or break gaming for us. So I want to see what you guys think here. So number three was actually – I'm going to do the top three here. Number three on the list was actually tied between two companies.
Okay.
Okay? Sony and Microsoft. Came in third place. Yes, but more specifically, the PlayStation 2 controller over all the others, and the Xbox One and Xbox 360 controllers specifically. Yeah. So those three styles of controller came in third place. What do you guys think about that placing for them?
I think it's appropriate when you consider some of the other, I mean, I know this because, like, I've, like, looked this up before, because, like, I've always been, like, a big, like, controller kind of, like, that's always been a big thing for me. So, like, I'm pretty sure I know what the number one is, but, like, when you take into consideration some of the other ones that are out there, as far as, like, comfortability, as well as, like, accessibility, as far as, like, playing different games and things like that, I think this is fair.
Okay. John, what do you got to say about this?
As far as PlayStation 2, I do remember the PlayStation 2 controller feeling right in my hand. You know what I mean? Like, one of those things that just, like, it just fit naturally. And it's what I really love about the Xbox controller, because it's just wide enough, because I have big hands, because I'm a big dude. So, like, my hands fit comfortably in an Xbox controller, especially with, like the Pro, you know, the newer Pro one that has like the two, like the triggers on the bottom.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, the Xbox 360 and the Xbox One controller are phenomenal for just for hand spacing.
Right.
And it's something that it took me a long time to get used to on the PS4 controller, because I was so used to the Xbox ones at that point. I was like, I hate this.
Right, right. Dave, what do you think? We got PS2 tied with Xbox One and Xbox 360 controllers coming in third place.
So I'm actually a little surprised by that, because the PS2 was always celebrated as, like, the main controller, isn't it? Yeah. It's considered perfect. And I've never I've never owned a PS2. I've obviously played it a lot. The controller doesn't feel like anything incredibly special to me, but so I'm a little surprised. I thought PS2 would be like number one.
Okay. I mean, yeah, obviously I can, you know, we're got to think about the generations prior, you know what I'm saying? Like we're going from flat classic controllers, NES, SNES, even the Genesis, you know what I'm saying? Like stuff like that. And then PlayStation 1 comes out and that's where we really get that style of controller. But I think, I think the PS2, yeah, I would actually agree. Yeah. PS2 pretty much perfected that, you know, comfortability when it came to like holding the controller and everything like that. Listen, I'm not too surprised that, to be honest, it's really funny because I wrote here along with the ranking specific notes as to why they hit those places. Mm-hmm. And comfort is the main leading cause to people voting for the PS2 and the Xbox 360 and Xbox One controllers.
That makes sense.
Yeah, just because the way it feels in your hand, the way that it functioned, everything like that, especially for the time it came out. I mean, you got to think about it. Those controllers were really completely new. I mean, Nintendo ran the gamut as far as controllers go. And then we came across these from Sony and Microsoft. So
yeah, but they weren't reinventing the wheel.
No, they weren't. But like I said, we're dealing with a topic here. We got to keep in mind that, like I said, consoles prided themselves in their controller design. So Nintendo was doing a lot, you know, in their design work as far as whether it worked or not. That point aside, because I don't want to get into a 20-minute fucking conversation about that right now. Anyway, but you know what I'm saying. But then you have Sony and then Microsoft come around, and then that really changed the game as far as how it felt in your hands, comfortability,
more comfortable setting.
So in third, you know, we got those controllers, which I can agree with. I'm also was slightly surprised at first, but after kind of thinking about it, it makes kind of sense. Now, number two, I think is going to be a bigger surprise for you guys than number three. And it was kind of a surprise overall for me. Number two, based on not just comfort, but originality, was a big leading factor on this decision. The people of the internet said the Dreamcast controller far as number two. And at least for myself, I'm going to have to say that I completely agree. Comfort-wise, yeah, like I said, for the time it came out, you still had the side grips. It still fit in your hand pretty decent, again, compared to the other controllers of the time. And I feel that, like, listen, I will, and I've publicly said this, say that, you know, it's going to kill the conversation a little for later, but we'll get into you guys. For me, the N64 controller was like, I loved it, okay? But I feel as much as I will die on that hill, I will go ahead and at least say that the Dreamcast, I feel, perfected what the 64 failed at.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I totally agree with that because they're such similar controllers in their spacing and like what they did, especially being Nintendo and Sega being way bigger competitors back then.
Right.
There were such similarities in like the not only button spacing, but also, you know, just the overall design and like comfortability of the fact that the N64 controller to this day is one of those controllers that's just like, your hands are so far the fuck apart when you use them. It's like crazy, you know? And then like, if you need to use directional buttons and everything, you need to take your hand off the controller and slide it to another part of the controller. Like that's unheard of nowadays. Nowadays, everything is exactly where, so your palms never have to shift, you know, locale, you know what I mean?
Right.
But that shit was just, it's crazy. I think that the Dreamcast controller is an example of what if the N64, like if they sat down for a little while longer and thought about things and like knew what was going to happen, what did happen, I think that's what they would have come up with.
Right. Absolutely. Plus, you also have to give the Dreamcast controller big points for having the screen. I mean, I mean, think about the time that it came out and that having that ability to have the screen on it.
Yeah.
Awesome. Dave, what are your thoughts?
I mean, that's definitely like, I was going to say the screen, because that was one thing that Nintendo, you know, they were obviously adding things on to the N64 controller, right? The Rumble Pack.
We'll get into that.
But the Dreamcast had that like already built in. I wonder like when Sega started developing that, like, because the N64 was like, what, 2 years earlier than the Dreamcast for release?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, I wonder, like, if the Dreamcast, like, took some lessons. Because I don't even remember when they first brought in the Rumble Pak. Do you guys remember what the first game was?
For the first game, I'm not too sure. I know that it came out in 97. So we have to take into consideration whatever games were around then for that time. I don't think it was game specific. I think it was just for... No,
I think Dave is right on that. I think there was a specific game that it launched for.
Okay, the Rumble Pak was introduced bundled with the game Star Fox 64.
There it is. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There it is.
We forget on this show every now and again, we could just look.
Yeah, right. The supercomputers in the palm of our hands. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not like I knew 97 off the top of my head. Trust me. But yeah. Oh, plus that was one of my fucking favorite games. But yeah, no, Nintendo definitely, you know, the Rumble Pak and the 64 controller, obviously earlier to the Dreamcast. And listen, I'm going to go ahead and say it. I don't care who disagrees or not, but I will always say that I think Nintendo... you know, set the bar for a lot when it came to gaming. And yeah, controller design, totally. Absolutely.
Totally.
Absolutely. So, John, Dreamcast, what do you think? Number two on the list.
This is what I love about this podcast is that we don't agree on a lot of things.
Here we go. Here we go.
I didn't like the Dreamcast controller. It was too clunky. It felt like they had taken a normal controller and expanded it in the wrong way. I mean, but that was just me. I will die on hills of that. You guys will see that it's very hard to please me as far as controllers go. You know what I mean?
As far as controller goes, please. If anyone's been listening to the show, it's hard to please you.
It's just, yeah, as far as most things go.
We had a whole episode called What a John Wants based on what the fuck you actually like.
That's true, yeah.
I'm also surprised, John, to hear you say that because I remember I used to go to your house and play the Dreamcast.
Oh yeah, the Dreamcast is great.
He's calling you out right now.
No, not at all. I loved the Dreamcast.
I don't remember John raving about the controller ever. Yeah. I don't remember. Okay. But I remember like going to John's house and like being and thinking that the controller was really cool.
We had One Piece fighter on the Dreamcast.
Wow.
Now, now you can tell how old One Piece is.
Right? Well, please, I do not want to get into that again.
No, I'm just saying. But yeah, like I just was never in love with the controller. It was fine, but it just felt like too elongated. Because again, like I'm coming from at the time, at that point, I think the Super Nintendo was out, right?
Yeah.
And so I was sort of used to that smaller, but still had the L buttons and stuff. And like, it was more comfortable in my hands for whatever reason. Mm. The Dreamcast just felt clunky to me.
Right.
So it just wasn't my favorite, but I loved the Dreamcast. I mean, the Dreamcast was a great system.
Right, right.
It just, the controller just felt weird to me. That's all.
Right. See, the problem here is that John just said it. He's going from a controller like the Super Nintendo to the Dreamcast, which is a big fucking gap when it comes to gaming. But that's mainly because John fucking hated the Polygon era and refused to play 64. For everybody that played 64... Listen,
first of all, I didn't refuse to play 64. And Dave can attest to this. There were three games that I played on the M64. That was it.
We played wrestling, whichever wrestling game it was.
Yeah, it was No Mercy.
Oh, fuck no Mercy. Fuck No Mercy
was the best game ever made.
Oh, my God. I might have a heart attack. Me and John agree on something. Holy shit.
Right?
Holy shit. Oh, my God.
We played Super Smash Brothers.
Lord Jesus, take me now.
WWE or WWF at the time, No Mercy, and Nightmare Creatures. And those were the three games that I played.
Nightmare Creatures was good. Yeah.
And then when the GameCube came out, I bought a ton of games.
Oh, hell yeah.
So, all right. That was my thing on the Dreamcast controller.
Right. Right.
I'm curious as to see, like, do we have the nostalgia for the controller that it was really great, or it was just that the Dreamcast was a great machine?
I think it was a little bit of both because mainly like I said, it was comfortability and originality that pulled the Dreamcast into second place here out of all the other choices. All
right, I can see it on originality for sure. Sure.
Exactly. Yeah,
I definitely did want to mention before we got off the Dreamcast that I don't know if I said it on the show before, but the Dreamcast was one of the first consoles that was like, it belonged to me, like my parents got for me. Okay. And let me tell y'all something right now. I played Sonic Adventure on Into the Night, and that little screen inside of my controller, I took care of all of my little chows, which you could do. Everybody who played Sonic Adventure first on the Dreamcast fucking remembers. You could take your chows anywhere with them. They created Tamagotchi in your fucking Dreamcast.
Yeah. I was going to say that's that was a real life Pokeball.
Basically. Hell yeah, absolutely.
They stole, yet again, Nintendo, being the innovator they are, Sega stealing the idea and creating the first fucking little Pokeball that you can take with you.
But Derek, you're forgetting, Sega does what Nintendo don't.
God, I love those old promos. Holy shit.
Both.
Yeah, that's when gaming was cutthroat. That's when they fucking really went for each other. Nostalgia played a role in every single suggestion as far as controllers go. Everybody said, this is my personal favorite because of nostalgia, more or less. But some of them either stayed with that choice or they went ahead and they said, but if I'm going to have to say who's really better, it's going to be X, Y, or Z. So some people really just stayed on the nostalgia thing. But yeah, you know what? Just real quick, actually, let's hold off on number one. Because number one, I feel like we're going to get into some deep conversation with. John, you mentioned, you know, nostalgia and everything like that. Mm-hmm. So I decided to give an honorable mention to the top classic controller. And when I say classic, I'm going with anything prior from PlayStation 1 and before. Before okay. Microsoft got into the game, when Sony first got into it, I feel like that's really where classic stuff really kind of ended, and then the new age really came into play here with the controller design and everything like that.
Right.
Top classic mention, Super Nintendo was the one that a lot of people from the past said, you know what, that's got to be this one. And I you know what, I'm here for it. I definitely support that opinion. I think the Super Nintendo controller, again, for the time it came out, for everything else that you can compare it to. I mean, Genesis was out at the same time. Not a big fan. Was not a big fan of the try button. Try button was like weird. You know, they went ABC, and then just it was thicker, and then it was a little fatter than a Super Nintendo controller. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And just, I don't know. It felt like Sega, again, especially since, Jordan, you brought up that promo of what, you know, what they do, Nintendo don't. I feel like this may be a fail on their end because they tried to beef up what a Nintendo controller is, and I don't think they did well with it.
If you look at the Sega Genesis controller, you'll note there's a really big thing missing, which is the shoulder buttons, L and R, which they were the first ones. Everyone has shoulder buttons now, trigger buttons, obviously. Yeah,
right.
But it's like Nintendo were the first ones to introduce shoulder buttons.
Right.
Something that was fundamental to games, and that's crazy.
Yeah.
And then the Atari Jaguar came out and ruined everything.
You know what? Two people brought up the Atari Jaguar.
Oh, no.
Two people brought it up. They're like, hands down, best controller. I'm like, what the fuck, dude?
Did they bring it up unironically?
I don't. You know what? It's the internet. God only knows. Wow. I didn't even acknowledge it.
I remember.
So you know those kids grew up rich because wasn't the Jaguar like a bajillion dollars?
No, the Neo Geo was.
Neo Geo.
Oh, the Neo Geo. Yeah.
The Neo Geo was $600 when it came out, and the games were $200.
Jesus Christ.
That's
insane. Yeah.
That's. Could you imagine right now if PS5 just decided, like, yo. Miles Morales,
Neo Geo was $200. And their controller was like a big like fighter pad because they basically had more fighters than anything.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
They were the ones that really brought in the fighting game community.
And that's, you know, crazy. What? I don't mind if before we get into anything else, I don't mind the pads. You know what I'm saying? The ones that replicate like the arcades. I actually enjoyed using some of those in the past just because you got that arcade feel from it.
The pads, they get on my nerves just very slightly, and that's only I understand that you're trying to go for like the old feel of like, oh, this is how shit was played. But I don't, first of all, I don't think the technology for like recreating joysticks and pads was ever like perfection like nowadays. Like, you know how nowadays we try to rekindle the fucking magic of everything that used to be right, back yeah, in the yeah. day. But like, I pick up like one of those like plug and plays kind of games of like yeah. Pac-Man or whatever. Or I try to pick up one of those and the people can correct me if you know you've experienced different, but the lag on those motherfuckers when they try to recreate like what joysticks used to be able to give us in that.
Are you talking about the ones that come with games on them?
Yes, but not only just those. I'm also talking about like the fact that there's ones that you can also plug into the consoles themselves just for that retro kind of feel. Okay. Yeah. And like for those, I've always just my own experience with them is just like there's always been a lot of lag on them, and in a very annoying kind of way I can't really like play them comfortably like sitting in a chair. Like it feels like you have to put it down somewhere, and like people always forget that the reason why, you know, arcades are so like they just feel good because you're playing this big machine that's just stuck in one place. If you try to emulate that and put that in your living room, it's like this little thing that you're trying to like move a joystick with and blah blah blah, and it's like moving all over the place. It's like I like a little stationary joystick that I can't like. Do you guys get what I'm saying? I'm not conveying right. this.
No, I completely understand. What you're saying is that you are a huge yes. fan of the N64 controller. That's exactly what you're saying. Because oh when it gosh. Came to the joystick and the analog stick like that, the N64, that's it. That's it right there.
In
that,
a way, yeah.
Yeah. yeah. No, 100%. And listen, that point, that feature for the N64, that's why it's always been my favorite. That feature right there was game changing. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Again, for lack of a better term.
All right, you guys ready for a good story?
Sure.
All right. So as many of you know, I go to or used to go to gaming conventions as press, right? Yeah. And Jordan had accompanied me as well. So I used to go to these press events, and at PAX and whatever and whoever, what E3 I've gone to, but the one of the PAXes that I went to, I was watching this guy, and I was at a certain booth, and this guy walks up and he's got a gamepad in his hand, right? And he asks the people, he's like, hey, do you mind if I plug my controller in? Because he's like, I want to play with my feet. And we all looked at him like, excuse me? He goes, yeah, I brought my own controller because, you know, obviously I don't want to play with your guys' controller. Do you mind if I just plug mine in? And they were like, okay. And he sits down on this little stool that he had, and he pulls his socks off, and he starts playing with his feet. And he's playing a pretty complicated game with a gamepad with his feet. And then I followed him around because I had to see him do it again.
I need to see more.
Yeah. So then he found a fighting game. Somebody at PAX was doing a fighting game. I don't remember what game it was. But he's like, hey, can I? And I'm watching from like afar. I'm just kind of like, you know, like circling around like a shark. And like, I was just like, what the fuck is this guy doing? And he goes, hey, do you mind if I play your game? And he goes, oh, yeah, sure. He's like, can you plug in my controller? I want to play with my feet. And I was like, holy shit, it's happening. And everyone looked at him like, what? He's out there somewhere still playing games with his feet because he was amazing. And he was so good. And I was like, I cannot believe this guy. And he was beating other guys, like just walking up, like using the regular controller with his feet. It was hysterical.
Isn't there a world record holder or somebody that plays control? I've heard of this guy. It's got to be this. There's no way there's more than two people.
There's more than one person.
Yeah, there's no way. There's no way. It's got to be the same guy. I've heard of this guy. He, like, yeah, like he plays,
and he plays competitively with his feet.
With yes! his feet.
It's
yes!
crazy.
Oh my God.
And
that
he was
is
there. It
bonkers.
Was hysterical.
Oh my that's God.
Weird. Yeah, so that's a little bit about the gamepad.
You know what? Maybe we've been doing it wrong. Maybe he knows the key
knows
to
the
pad.
Secrets.
Yeah. Maybe that's why, Jordan, you can't get comfortable with it. You need to start using your feet, my man.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
He's from the future.
Yeah, playing with your hands is wrong. I don't want to be right.
Yeah, right. You know, yeah.
Out of this whole story, though, I have to tell you, props to this motherfucker for not just jumping into other people's like playtesting booths and being like, "Listen, I'll play this with whatever controller you guys have handy." However, I'm using my fucking feet. Like the fact that he was nice enough to have his own controller and be like, "Yeah, I'm clean."
And everyone was accommodating. They all were like, "Yeah," because I guess they just want. I wanted to see it. I'm sure they did too.
100%.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. And he was great. It was unbelievable.
He go, "I want to play with my feet." And every single one of them were just like in their head, "No fucking way. Like, there's no way this dude is playing with his feet. Let's plug it in and see what happens." And then he played with his feet.
If he can do this, I'm going to allow him to do this. Right. Are you fucking kidding me?
That's funny. That's fantastic.
But the Super Nintendo controller was one of my favorites as far
hands down.
As far as retro things are concerned.
It's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I got the Super Nintendo Mini and when I put that controller back in my hand, man, god, it was just
so natural.
It felt so right. God damn it felt so good. Yeah.
I'm so jealous.
I got the NES Mini, and I got the Super Nintendo Mini.
That's great. Yeah. And you know what's funny? Because, like, real quick, touch on that. Like, I have the Super Nintendo app on my Switch, but playing with the Switch controller,
not the same.
I hate it. Mm-hmm. I want my Super Nintendo controller if I'm playing Super Nintendo games.
I was hoping we were going to bring up that fucking thing at one point, because, like, I don't think, like, Nintendo was very weird with this shit, because, like...
Wait, hold on. Before you go there, let's finish the list, and then we'll go back to the things we hate, because I think that was what...
Yeah, right? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, let's touch on number one. No, it's fine. It works. We can do number one, and then we can we'll get into our favorites and our least favorites as far as controllers, and then we still got to touch on accessories. I got a whole fucking thing for the accessories. Cool. So, all right. Number three, like I said, to recap, PS2 tied with Xbox One and Xbox 360 controllers, mainly in the area of comfort. That's why that ranked number three. Number two was Dreamcast with their comfortability and originality as far as the controller was concerned. Then, of course, we had the honorable mention of top classic controller goes to Super Nintendo, which we all wholeheartedly agree. And number one on the list that's, it's just, I personally don't get it, but you know what? The people have spoken and I will agree that the company behind it was always a force to be reckoned with. And like I said before, this will give it away, the innovators, it was Nintendo coming in number one with the GameCube controller. Yep.
Knew it. I have a lot to say about this.
Yeah, and listen, it not only was given votes for comfortability, it came down to originality because of the way the evolution of the Nintendo controllers went. They did a lot as far as like where the buttons were placed and everything like that. So that was a big factor for a lot of people that voted for it. And the main thing is the driving force behind the Smash community, the fandom. The sheer fandom behind Smash Brothers is the reason why the GameCube controller is number one. It doesn't surprise me either. I don't get it, but I'm not surprised because, let's be honest, listen, we're talking new gen shit. I wouldn't necessarily consider the Switch new gen, but it is one of the most recent, consoles out. It's Nintendo's most latest project. They came out with a GameCube controller for the Switch, so it can be used.
They did it for the Wii also.
You're right. They did it for the Wii too, and all because of Smash Brothers.
Yeah,
literally
the fans could not move on with Smash Brothers with their new controllers because the Wii Nunchuck was awful for it.
Oh God,
The Wii U was a little bit closer because closer to like the Xbox controller, but it was still like it was not the same, and people had an issue with that. And then when the Switch came out, I mean, it was totally different. So it was like I can't hold it in that little thing in my hands, or even just the big thing. So like, you need to go back to the GameCube controller for Smash, and that's it. Everything else can be used for anything.
It's completely it's completely wild to me.
Before Jordan rants and raves about this, because I know he has a lot to say. I just want to say real quick. that for the GameCube, I really enjoyed the GameCube controller coming from the N64. It was a huge step up for me,
right?
Because my hands fit in a GameCube thing. The one thing I couldn't deal with the N64 is my hands didn't fit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and that's really what it came down to. I enjoy that the fact that they brought back an analog stick and they were the first company to do so. But I couldn't fit in. But the GameCube controller set that apart. You know, I was able to fit it in my hands, and that's what I enjoyed about it. But the GameCube controller button setup is a mess.
Oh, no way.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Not for Smash. It works for Smash. I'm just saying for other games, way the ABXY is set up, it's not conducive to the other ones.
No,
Okay, fine. Fuck me then, I guess, because I hated the button setup.
I'm going to be with Jordan on this for sure.
The button setup on all the other controllers throughout history are great.
It's not. Well, the thing is because like...
It's like a wizard got drunk.
I'm not saying... Like a wizard got drunk and just
hold on, Dave. What are your opinions on the GameCube? Again, like I'm gonna agree with John here. Jordan's gonna go off on a big spiel about this, and I can feel it. I'm here for it. I want to hear it. I want to know what you got to say. But let's get Dave's input on this.
Okay. And it's important to save the best for last, which will be
exactly. See, he knows.
I have technical shit to say about this.
I think I chose the GameCube. I replied. I said, I want the GameCube to be number one because the A button is like really, it's fundamental not only to Smash, but if you ever played like Resident Evil 4 the button, that was like the GameCube controller is what made that game. I think when it first came out, it was a GameCube exclusive. That controller made that game incredibly playable, super fun. The way that the shoulder buttons have like a little bit of a pushback on them.
Yes.
And were super comfortable. And then you had the wider analog on the left that was really great, like a bigger thumbprint, which was more comfortable. And then also, John, you love Super Mario Sunshine.
Yes.
The thing that made Super Mario Sunshine like really great was they fixed the crazy camera from Super Mario 64 and you could control the camera so much better.
Well, because you had that thick analog stick. Yeah. The C stick.
It's like, that's also like, you know, starting, like, you're getting to the beginning of the two. I mean, it was just like a great control. To me, it's like perfect.
Yeah. What I mean by the buttons were a mess was that, remember that up until 2001, when that came out, you know what I mean? Like, everything was like A, B, X, Y, or X, circle, triangle, square. Like everything was just kind of there in the position that they should be in. And then it looked like a wizard got drunk and made a controller. You know what I mean? Like, so like the B button's super small, the A button's big, the Y buttons are like these weird curvy things that go around. And I get it. Maybe it's just like where the hand can circle around and it's no big deal. But that you know, the reach to the X button or sometimes could be a little annoying. But the triggers were great. The Z button was awesome. The second analog stick that was kind of not next to each other like the PlayStation 2 was. I enjoyed a lot about the GameCube controller. But
you're reviewing like each button. Like
No. For other games, it was a difficult thing to navigate when you're so used to the other four. You know what I mean?
The weird thing about what you're saying is like the way that you started that, which I agree with you. It's very jarring for people who are used to the button layout on most controllers, which is either the diamond shape where button on the top, button on the left, the right, and the bottom. Like the button placement like that, but the way you just worded it, where the buttons should be, the buttons do not have to be anywhere. That was what Nintendo kind of has an understanding of in that sort of way. And that's what also reminded me of, like, it goes back to the N64 controller, because that was like the A and the B buttons, correct me if I'm wrong, they were in this like diagonal type kind of input.
Yes.
Yeah. And then so the buttons, really, Nintendo kind of has this like understanding of like, there doesn't have to be like a button placement so long as it's reachable for thumbs of all sizes to be able to reach. But that's one of the things about GameCube that I really do enjoy about it. And this begins my little thing here, because all of these staple GameCube games, it's exactly what Dave just said about Resident Evil times like 50, because Wind Waker, Smash, Resident Evil, Pikmin, all these games all had one thing in common, and that was the fact that the A button for whatever you were playing was the main button you were utilizing.
100%.
Right.
And that's
right.
why the A button was the biggest button there, whereas the B button was seen as a secondary type of situation. And a lot of times the X and the Y buttons controlled either camera situations, like if you were in like a first person type situation, or in games like Sunshine, where you could press one of the buttons to just stop, like Mario will stop running. Yeah. And instead of the left analog stick being used to run around, it would be used to stand in one place like a turret and fire your, you know, water backpack flood. Right. So the reason I feel that the GameCube controller is, first of all, I already knew it was going to be number one. Like this controller, there is such a massive, I don't believe that, that's another thing I disagree with too. I do not believe that it is a thing that purely Melee was the reason why there is a you know, an outcry for this controller to be remade. I feel like it's because Nintendo understands that when it comes to comfortability and functionality in a lot of these different Nintendo games, it just, it feels good in so many people's hands, and so many people have agreed with it throughout the years. The the back trigger buttons, for example, they have like this little like divot kind of style that like your fingers just slip into it normally. Whereas if you look at the trigger buttons on the PS2 or the PS4 or 3 or whatever, it's a button that you press while when you're playing the GameCube, your fingers slide into these little divots in the back, so they're just resting there waiting for you to press the back button.
Yes.
The directional pad was kind of an upgraded version of what was done with the N64 controller, you know, the little yellow four buttons. Yeah. This was that upgrade. And worked the camera in most of these games freaking beautifully. Another thing that a lot of people completely forget about when it comes to the GameCube is also the fact that the WaveBird controller. That controller was the wireless controller that made massive strides in wireless.
My brother still has them.
In the industry.
Right, yeah.
I do too. I still have my original GameCube controllers. The WaveBird, they're worn down completely. The purple, black, and the silver ones. I will never give these shits up.
The only reason I will say that the Smash Brother community really did sort of also drive a little bit of this was that when the Wii came out, it was almost impossible because they were like, oh, here's a new Smash Brothers. And everyone went, what the fuck are we supposed to do? Play on this nunchuck thing? Are you kidding me? That is not happening. And they went crazy about it. They were like, all right, we'll just make a fucking GameCube game for it. You know, we'll make something that you can attach your GameCube controller to that'll attach to the Wii. Remember they made that little, it was like you could still use your GameCube controllers, but you have to buy this separate plug-in that will plug into the Wii via USB.
Right.
But you can also, I don't think it's only, I mean, maybe it's a little bit, but you can use the GameCube controller on the Switch now with games other than Smash Brothers. You can use it on Mario Kart.
Yeah, 100%.
I
use it to play.
They just added the controller
Breath of the Wild, actually.
Yeah. And they just added the controller support for, you know, the Mario 3D All-Stars game. So now you can use that controller do Mario 64 and Sunshine the way that originally it was, you know, created to be done.
Right.
But, so that's dope. I didn't know that.
So that's dope.
I don't know. I understand that again, John, you have a lot of good points where as far as the GameCube controller, like the button layout and everything, it does look like a drunk wizard just started hammering Skittles into the fucking controller. But like when you look at the staple games that were for, you know, GameCube back
then, it worked for the games.
Wind Waker, Smash, it worked for so many things that became so popularized and now they have remakes today.
Yeah.
Mm. So like,
yeah, you know, you're right. Okay.
But this is my fucking love letter to this is my controller.
Yeah. This is the hill you die on. Yeah.
I very much love the GameCube controller, especially because like, I guess we'll get into it. I hate the N64 one.
Oh my
God. You're not alone in that though. Even though I loved the era of N64 so goddamn much and loved everything about it.
Yeah.
But even this controller, I was just like, why does it look like this? Why does it look like the top of a pitchfork?
Why does it look like a claw?
Listen,
it's a three-pronged.
Why did the controller need a penis? That's my question.
Great. Now I can't unsee that. Fantastic.
Good. I'm glad. You're welcome. You're welcome, all of you. The whole welcome, internet.
All right. Okay. Listen, if we're going to get into things we don't like, let's top off this whole list here. So, okay. So we got three, like I said, PS2, Xbox One, 360. That was number three, Dreamcast number two, and then GameCube number one. I think appropriate choices. I think that everyone pretty much, you know, like I said, had a bit of nostalgia involved in their choosing. And like I said, we fell in the areas of comfort for number three, comfort and originality for number two. And then both those, plus just the sheer fandom and popularity of the controller, drives the GameCube controller all the way up. John, you're coming at the N64 controller real hot. I don't fucking appreciate it. And I'm going to say that the reason why I don't give a fuck. Listen, I get it. I get your disdain for it. I understand. But you're wrong, sir. You're wrong. Because
I don't think I'm
that,
wrong.
I think you are. I think that between the – I can't even use
that's okay. You know what I mean? Like, look, I don't care that people like the N64 controller or the N64 in general. That's great. You like something? That's awesome. I just don't like it. That's just not my thing. I've been gaming for 30 years. I can not like something. Get off my back, Jones.
I just think you miss I feel like you miss such an important generation as far as like when it comes to gaming. Like I said, listen, think about it this way, the N64 controller, right, brought back the analog. The N64 controller was definitely brought in, yeah.
I was talking about Atari.
The N64 controller was absolutely the main influence behind the Dreamcast controller. The N64 controller was fantastic. And you know what it is? Okay. The big reason why I love the N64 controller so much is because of the Rumble Pack. We touched a little bit on that.
Okay, and the Rumble Pack.
The Rumble Pack was... It was amazing. The Rumble Pack is the reason why we have vibration and that sensor in the controllers now, today. That has to be, and I know it is, the direct reason why they came out with the DualShock 1. That, you know what I'm saying? The Rumble Pack was such a huge accessory. So the N64 controller, as much as you want to hate on it, listen, again, Nintendo coming in hot, innovative, putting things together that have influenced things generations to come.
N64 controller did influence. I never say that like N64 was
put some respect on the name, John.
Bro, I don't
put some respect on that, bro.
I want to say right now, Derek is correct and incorrect in many senses.
How dare you?
Meaning, I'll never forgive you. I feel a lot of statements such as, okay, maybe the Rumble Pack was what was the influence that led to, you know, vibration and haptic features being prominent within video game controllers nowadays. I feel like that may be a true statement. Really think that the N64 was like the driving force behind the Dreamcast controller? Absolutely not. I don't think it was a driving force.
I think it was definitely heavily influenced. I mean, look at the fucking thing. Look at it.
But like, there's coincidences in this world too. Like that,
I know people to this day that actually turn off their Rumble in their. I don't know why they do that, but I'm just saying, like they could actually turn off the Rumble on their controller.
Because they're cowards.
They're cowards and they're weak.
I love Rumble, but
if you got offended by that, good. You're cowardly and you're a weak person.
You're a bad person and you should feel bad. Bringing in the analog stick again and, you know, making the Rumble Pack that kind of, you know, shaped the Rumble in controllers later on. Those are all great. But it was uncomfortable to me. It was I couldn't fit my hands next to them when I had the middle, you know, in one hand and the right side in the right hand. And
you're
it was
wrong,
like
dude.
My knuckles were literally touching each other. And I didn't like that.
You're not wrong.
Get
dude.
Smaller like, hands.
Like we said before,
right? Like, let me just chop off my hands.
It's like we said before, you know, it was one of the first and really one of the only gaming controllers that ever existed that required you at some point to take a hand off of the controller and put it back in a different fucking
in a
place.
Different position.
That's like weird. Know, like it's the first thing that ever did. I remember playing like I would play Mario Party with my mother when I was younger. And I remember like aside from like like the shit where you would have to kill your hand. Oh, did you guys ever hear about that controversy while we're talking about this just really quickly? In a lot of games like the fishing games and a lot of the Mario Party mini games for the N64, it required players to take the joystick and kind of
rotate
rub on it.
Yeah,
and rotate it like as fast as you can.
You take your palm to the analog stick.
Yeah.
And people were, you could look this up, people were hurting their hands to the point where they were complaining to Nintendo about these features. And Nintendo was giving away legitimate like gloves that you could wear to play them.
Weak.
Yeah.
Coward.
Shit's weak.
I do
embrace the
back.
Pain.
Listen, I never
blood,
needed...
sweat, and tears.
Listen, did I ever need a glove to play the games? No. Did it hurt my hands after a while rotating the fucking thing with a misbehaving clitoris? Yeah, absolutely. That was a bit annoying.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, if that's how you do that, we have to talk about something.
Every female that listens, which isn't many, just fucking cringed.
They literally just turned the show.
They went, nope, no more. I'm done. Listen.
They had me until that moment.
Thanks, Jordan.
This episode's phrase of the day is misbehaving clitoris.
All the furniture just went fucking nuts in my house like it's Pee-wee's.
I just screamed.
I think the other like the thing that the about the controller, John, that is like really important is that it is the like for a while we did not know how we were going to play 3D games because the main 3D games that were out then were like Virtua Fighter and Tekken, and the PlayStation controller just felt weird doing it because you were trying to operate something in 3D and you didn't have a 3D thing to do it. And Nintendo was just like, well, we have this great game, Super Mario 64, and we have a great way to play it. So it was like, it's really like...
Give me that shit. PlayStation was there beforehand. They were making 3D games.
No, they were, but the controller did not fit. The controllers did not work for the 3D game.
Well, right, because there was no analog stick. Like I said, the analog stick was a great decision because it helped with camera movement. I do think that was a great innovation for that controller. Yeah. And it worked well with the 3D games. And it also worked well with WWF No Mercy, and I can get my power level up so I could do a super move.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
But again, it was just something I didn't really care for. I didn't really use. I played my PlayStation a little bit more, and then when the GameCube came out, I jumped on it. I loved the GameCube.
Right. Yeah. No, wait, listen, I get it. I get the argument, dude. I get it. I understand where you're coming from. And just to quickly address the weaklings out there that ever complained about the joystick, the analog stick on the N64. Listen,
cowards.
Listen, you cowards, you're weak. The blisters were signs of battle. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like they were battle scars. If you didn't show up to school constantly with a red ass blister in the center of one of your palms because you're playing video games all fucking night.
Because you're playing video games. So.
Yeah. Oh, like, yeah. Come on. What are you doing with yourself? Get it together.
All the girls in the schoolyard used to be like, oh, Jordan, do you work out? I'm like, nah, baby. Mario Party 2.
All right. I've gotten this off my chest now.
All right.
Who hated something else? I can't be the.
Well, I love the N64, and I didn't really hate any controllers.
I want to bring up something that I hate that we have now.
Okay.
Sure.
Not even hate, but it's just a thing that we've gotten used to, but was weird for me to get used to as opposed to everybody else.
Okay.
So I was a Nintendo kid hardcore growing up, and then transitioning into like PlayStation, everything like that, to this day, if you look at the PlayStation controller, and I think the GameCube kind of spoiled me after years of playing that shit. The The analog stick is prominently put on top of the controller, while the D-pad is put on the bottom. But for all PlayStation shit, they keep the D-pad on the top left side of the controller, and the analog stick stays on the bottom. And I've played so much PlayStation now in my life that it's something that I really don't even think about anymore. But I remember as a kid, I was like, this is fucking stupid. Like, I would play 3D games using the D-pad, and it would be really uncomfortable to do moving in, like, in a three-dimensional game where you can move, like, in 8 different directions using a D-pad that only had 4 buttons. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. There was something about it that just, like, with time, I totally got used to it. And again, like, the three of us play fucking PlayStation shit, like, all the live long day. But it's like, there was something about that I never got over. And the fact that the D-pad now has been reduced to kind of like a side thing. Think about all games we play right now. The D-pad doesn't move your character anymore. The D-pad is used for like emotes and like fucking,
right,
you know,
right, yeah,
commands, like,
or inventory,
yeah,
inventory, yeah, stuff, yeah, like that, yeah, exactly,
menu shit, yeah.
And like we fucking play,
well, because again, you're moving a character and a camera at the same time, so you need those analog,
exactly,
sticks.
What, yeah. What I'm saying is, like, moving the placement to have them in a more prominent spot than the D-pad, I feel it's like my thing a little bit. Like, it maybe it goes back to me and my love for the GameCube controller and the fact that, you know, what I use to move my character, which I feel is more important than opening my map, is,
so, you know, it's funny that you didn't jump on Xbox then, because Xbox has that same similar, like, there's an analog in the top left, the D-pad below it.
Well, that's another thing, yeah, too, is like I think that was also why I did, because I don't talk about it often. Like, I got into the Xbox hardcore over the Xbox 360. Like, I had Gold, I had Live, I played that shit all fucking day.
Right.
And when Xbox One came out, I was like, I'm done. And I, like, shifted to PlayStation, and I just had a good time ever since, because I don't play shit online anymore.
Right. Okay, right.
But
and PlayStation has better single players, so.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And they had exclusives and single players for me when it gets too people-y outside. But anyway, that's how I feel about, like, I transitioned from the GameCube for so many years to the 360 for so many more years that coming to PlayStation was a weird jump. So I don't know. I was just like, I'm not saying it's bad right now. Like, yeah. To everybody, I love PlayStation to death. I really do. I'm just saying, like, it's a thing that kind of irked me a little.
No. Right.
Dave, is there anything that bothers you about, like, modern controllers or even older ones?
I mean, nothing really. Like, I'm actually, I don't like the PlayStation controller. I mean, I think the Xbox One controller / the Xbox 360 controller is great. It's a really, like, fantastic controller. But I just feel like, you know, at my core, all of these, like, Nintendo, like, they're the giants.
Right.
And everybody else is standing on Nintendo's back. They really are.
Yep.
So I much agree. Nintendo is like, dude, even think about, like, when the Wii came out and the Wii, like, was selling like hotcakes, like, Nintendo was printing money using a Wii to print money.
Yeah,
and with the Wii, like, PlayStation and Xbox immediately came out with, like, the Kinect, and they came out with PlayStation had those stupid, like, bongo, like,
PlayStation Move.
Yeah.
They were so freaked out that Nintendo was just like, Nintendo is just about to dominate this. And the Wii, obviously, like, outsold both of them.
Yeah.
But it was
and
just
while
like
the Wii U didn't do as well, it still, like, still shaped something new for them.
Right, yeah. I mean, the Wii U is like, Nintendo gets a mulligan like every other system.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Well, there's that great meme. There's that great meme for controllers where it's like, PlayStation, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, and then, like, Xbox is like, change is good. And Nintendo's like, cocaine. You know, like, it's just like all their different controllers.
And I've seen that too. And that's what the fucking point of that is. It's like we talked about earlier when John was talking about the controllers before and everything like that. And he was like, you know, this is like when you, I know you didn't mean to say that, but all of your years of just your gaming sensibilities and everything like that told you, like, these buttons are where they should be.
Yeah.
But Nintendo are the ones who looks at that shit with their innovativeness and everything like that. And they look at it and they're like, nothing has to be anywhere. And that's where it comes up with, they come up with shit that we don't even think about. And it's like, oh shit, sweet. A fucking console that I can like connect to my television, then disconnect and take to my job. Sick. Yeah. Like, let's do it. Yeah. Cocaine.
Yeah. Right. Like, I think like everyone that worked with like Miyamoto was just like, just high on cocaine. And like, what about this for a controller? This is great. Right. Yeah. This is awesome. I love
it. And I'm sure he can
shit out now
everything. Cause that's how they succeed is you don't, you know, you consider, I mean, you don't do everything, but you consider shit.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Actually, you know what's really funny? You're talking about Nintendo, cocaine, and Jordan, you mentioned your preference to have the directional pad, like the Xbox controller, where it was under the analog, right? Mm-hmm. I just happened to look over to my side, and on the table is the Nintendo Pro Controller, and they have that setup.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's crazy. The
Pro Controller is actually really, really well done.
It is, yeah.
It is well done, and I will say so, but they fucked up because they didn't put a headphone jack, any type of ability to put a jack in that fucking thing.
While we're talking about that, then, and that is because, right, Nintendo sucks for online.
But in that, you're not saying anything.
They don't let anyone talk, and it's because, like, honestly, if we're really honest with ourselves, Nintendo still aims at a younger audience.
Yes.
And while they still have mature games, and that's great, and they don't want kids having to deal with the Xbox lobbies.
Yeah.
Yeah, the way we used to deal. I mean, I remember I told like a kid that I would fuck his dad. Yeah, you know what I mean?
You're fucking noob. I'm going to fuck your mom.
You know, like, because some kid called me gay, and I was like, you think I'm gay now? Wait till I'm fucking your dad. You know?
Jesus Christ.
Damn.
Yeah. Xbox lobbies.
That was the old Xbox. Those were the old Xbox lobbies.
It was, yeah.
But you guys throw different time. I think it's also, like, Nintendo's main, like, they cater a lot to Japan, where they don't have, like...
They play more
they don't have angry white kids yelling the N-word every fucking 3 seconds.
They don't have that so much, but they do have Japan has a lot of multiplayer stuff. I mean, huge thing. Multiplayer games blow up in Japan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they have like the little cyber cafes and they have all those things where people get to play together.
They play in person together, which is honestly, it's super fun when you can have Mario Kart in a room filled with people.
Which is why couch co-op games are still being made.
Yeah.
It's not because I'm America. Yeah. They don't give a shit about us.
I was just about to say, going back to that, you know, you guys had, you know, people threaten to fuck your dads and shit. Must be nice, because as the African-American on this podcast, I heard some way different shit. I wish people were talking about my dad.
Yeah, a lot of boy.
The old Xbox, even now, like, I don't talk to anybody unless it's I'm in a group with my friends, you know what I mean? Like,
the gamers of today would never survive an Xbox. Yeah. Xbox lobbies, when that shit first came around and people just could spew shit into the microphone, it was lawless land. It was completely.
I told that story on this podcast before. I told that story about how I was watching an episode of like Oprah or some shit, and they were talking about like online video game chat lobbies. How there was this like father, this African American father, like so like distraught about this. He was like, they were calling my son a monkey, and it's terrible. And I went to the local authorities, and I'm like, these boomers called the cops on these kids on the internet. Are you kidding me right now?
Oh my god!
I don't even know where they're from. Like, what?
That's just old people who have no idea how the world.
Yeah, you have no idea how technology works.
Mute them and just go. Like, you're the one who put your kid.
But now the good thing is that if they really go crazy on you, you can report them, and that was something that was nice.
Right.
You can't.
Yeah, but couldn't do that before.
Controller I really love that I don't think gets enough play?
What a hard turn.
Yeah, right.
Racism. You know what controller I really love?
Well, let's get back to the, you know, we could sit here and tell the gaming community is horseshit all the time, but we could spend hours on that. But hi, gaming community. A controller that I really love that never gets enough play was the Power Glove.
Hold on. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm glad you brought that up because a big thing, you know, we're sort of diving more into accessory. Like I mentioned Rumble Pack and shit like that. You guys mentioned like the Move Connect and all that shit. Let's get into accessories since you brought up a Power Glove.
Sure.
Is it an accessory or is it a controller?
It's a little of both.
It's a little bit of both, right?
Yeah.
And listen, yet again, Nintendo, they're. A fucking glove? Seriously? Yeah. Cocaine!
Yeah.
100%. They consider everything, bro.
Like, remember when the Nintendo first came out, it came with Mario and Duck Hunt, right? And it had the little gun. But the gun wasn't good enough for Super Nintendo.
No.
Super Nintendo had to have a super scope that was a bazooka!
Yeah. I was actually going to bring that up when NES came with Duck Hunt.
Yeah,
you got the NES, the gun, and you gotta think. You gotta think about this. You gotta transport yourself back in time here, guys.
Yeah.
Like, think about what the NES is, and think about having a gun, something that's what I can point at the screen and shoot things.
Yeah,
like,
it was,
what?
It was awesome.
And it was back cool to the future.
Like, remember, like at the time that they were still like, there were some arcade games that had the, you know, you could go, you shoot the gun at the screen,
right?
Like, you know, whatever, and that was awesome.
But they brought it to your house. They put it in your living room.
They put it in your living room.
I remember that shit where you'd go to like the movie theater or some shit and they'd have a little arcade next to it. And you'd pick up a big pink or blue plastic gun and you'd just shoot your way through cocaine dealers or whatever.
Yeah, or like
aliens or zombies.
You know, I came here to watch Shrek. What the fuck? Like, I'm shooting.
I saw recently somebody had bought a Power Glove and remade it into Thanos' glove, which
that's
I thought
amazing.
Was really
funny. That's cool.
Really cool. Yet again, Nintendo showing its grit, showing its innovation. Think about it. They come out with the scope, the gun for NES, the super scope for Super Nintendo, the Power Glove.
They had the running pad. You want to get into some deep cuts right now?
The running pad, the Nintendo track and field game.
You had to stand up and run on that motherfucker, which paved the way for the DDR pad.
Yeah. Yes.
My grandmother actually had the trackpad.
Because we
would go over there and she knew her grandkids played Nintendo. And so she bought a little, you know, system for the house or whatever. And so when we would come over, we'd get to play. And we had all the other games that we would bring our own games or whatever too. But she bought the system when it came with the trackpad. So she just had it. So every once in a while, my brother and I and our cousins, we'd load up Track and Field, and we'd sit there and run on the thing and jump when you had to jump over the hurdles and shit. That thing was great. But we also figured out that if you just slapped it, it did the same thing as
you
if you
put
were
it on the floor
on
and you smack it as hard as you can, as fast as you can.
Oh my god!
Mm-hmm. Have you guys? I'm just because this transitions into something that I really fucking love seeing online. Have you guys ever seen like we know like when before Just Dance and all this other. Before this millennial shiznit with like Just Dance and you get to like hold a controller and dance. Back in the day, if you wanted to dance on a video game, you needed to fucking connect a Dance Dance Revolution like plastic pad in the middle of your living room
pad,
and dance on that shit. And I'll tell you guys right now, I love to this day watching YouTube videos because if you plug those pads in, like let's say in like the PS2 or whatever, but you were playing like a regular game, that pad was still a controller.
Yes.
So I watch people constantly being like, "Hey, I beat Kingdom Hearts 2 using a DDR pad." Like,
that was a big thing.
Yeah, absolutely was a big thing. That shit was crazy.
Yeah.
One that I gotta again, I'm stuck on this whole thing with Nintendo being such a fucking crazy innovator. I know it wasn't directly from Nintendo, but it began for NES. And I know I'm going to say it, and you're all going to know what I'm talking about. The fucking Game Genie. Remember the Game Genie?
Oh, the Game Genie.
Dude.
Are we talking cheat codes now?
We're talking about... listen. Accessories... Let me just put this point across. The whole point of the conversation today is not just the controllers that, you know, the consoles prided themselves in designing and helped, you know, make the gaming experience what it was by adding little features in the controller and button layout and all that. But the accessories played a huge part. And you want to talk about fucking amplifying your game time? Game Genie and unlocking all the crazy cheats and all the crazy shit? Game Genie and then Game Shark coming out later on?
Game Shark,
Yo,
oh, yeah.
Oh my god, dude, that was some of the best shit, because you would get away with shit you never thought of in games.
You were hacking the game.
Yeah,
basically.
More it was a device you put into a Game Boy, and you put the game into the device, and it hacked the game, cartridge.
Yeah. Right. So it really made for like a funny thing, because it's like, did game developers make cheat codes that they had to then kind of program into the shark? You know what I mean? Like,
yes.
Yeah, like
There was a code that would open up that, you know, like whether it was infinite lives or you could, you know, whatever it was, right? Mm. Or invulnerability or whatever, you know, game breaking ridiculous crap. So they had to actually program that stuff into it.
Into it, yeah, because originally the Game Genie, when it came out, you would have to put in the cheat yourself.
You had to put in the code.
You would have to put in the codes. The Game Shark had everything that when you attach it to your console would then go ahead and hook up to your whatever hard drive you were working with,
and then
you would go in through that menu, and then it would be preloaded.
But here's the thing about that, though. What to your question, what you just said, John, was it, did the game developers put cheats in already, or would the device manipulate the game? It was both. Because if you guys remember, Game Genie and Game Shark and stuff like that, although they were really fun to use and everything, there were a lot of controversies with those among your games getting glitched up as you were playing them.
Yeah.
Or if you were doing certain things in the game and it would delete your save files.
Ooh.
So some developers did put purposeful cheats inside of their games so that they could be able to, you know, be utilized properly. But for the most part, there are some Game Sharks and Game Genies and stuff like that. There are some of those cheat devices that when you use them, it's basically kind of like it. Like I said, it's hacking the game. So it's making the game do things that the developers and the game did not expect the game to do. So when you do things like invincibility and shit like that, it's not always like you could do that, but the upturn of that would be, unfortunately, hey, you can use it, but your save file becomes corrupt.
Right.
So, yeah. There was a big.
So it depends on the game.
Yeah.
Really.
Big trade off. Okay, big risk sometimes involved with that stuff.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Something actually that now that you brought it up, you mentioned the term save file. And I believe
memory cards.
Now I'm going to go ahead and say, correct my timeline. I'm really shitty with timelines, that the memory card came out. N64 was PlayStation came out before N64, correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
So then Sony was the innovator for memory cards, I believe. I want to go ahead and say that.
I'm pretty sure they were the first ones to do it.
Yeah. Because at the time, Super Nintendo, you couldn't save. Sega Genesis, you couldn't save. Nintendo, the regular NES, definitely not. No, that's true.
They had save files on the cartridges internal, for Super Nintendo. Yeah.
Not all the time. Not all the time, but most of the games,
like some Mario, of the games, Legend of Zelda, all of the first party games all had them.
Right.
Super Metroid, Legend of Zelda, Mario Brothers. All of those games had those, but if it was a third-party game, they didn't always have them.
Which was, let's be honest, the majority of the catalogs. Let's not fucking lie here. Yeah, absolutely. First-party had them. Okay, fine. But I'm talking about, listen, do you know how many days I left my Super Nintendo on while I played Maximum Carnage? It had to have been like a week straight. Yeah.
I did the same thing.
You know what I'm saying?
For the PlayStation 2, I will never forget that shit. I had, I believe it was Kingdom Hearts 2, which is a long fucking game to play. It's an RPG. And I remember having to leave my control. It would get so hot. I would leave my PlayStation going over and over again.
Wow.
Because I had like little platformer games at the time. So like, I didn't mind playing those games and like, oh, I can't save, but I could just, you know, replay them again and whatever and have a good time going through the levels. I got a game that was an actual story and everything like that through it. I would just leave it on. I wouldn't fucking do anything with it. I'd just be like, you know what? I'm not gonna allow myself to lose my save file. What are you, crazy? Like, no.
Why didn't you just get a memory card? PlayStation had it.
I was a kid.
The PlayStation memory cards were fickle. Like, I remember, well, okay, the original ones were, at least. I remember I've had memory cards get corrupted almost. I have lost.
You're right.
It took me 3 memory cards to get through Final Fantasy VII when it first came out.
Oh,
because they kept deleting on me.
Oh my god,
bro, forever.
Just as a little history lesson, though, the first video game console to ever utilize memory cards was the Neo Geo AES.
That's true. The Neo Geo had
them. Yes, and it used actual memory cards that we use in cameras and stuff today. So it used SD cards.
Wow. That's crazy. Yep. But can we really consider anything that Neo Geo had or was even on the list? Because let's be honest, that shit was fucking expensive.
It was expensive.
You know what I'm saying?
Not a lot of people really had them. I mean, the games were awesome, and they looked great, because at the time they were 64 bits. Right. And at the time, that was like unheard of.
Right.
It was.
And so the games were super expensive because they were hard to make at the time.
Yeah, but even then, video games are video games.
Can't argue that. I'm trying to think, what other crazy accessories were there? You know, we did memory cards. You got, obviously, the Rumble Pack. You got all the cheat stuff, the accessories, so the guns.
One of the other things that we're leaving out that is, it falls into this, like, is it an accessory or is it a controller thing? Is the Virtual Boy.
Yes. Oh! Nintendo was ahead of their time with VR. They were.
That's right, yeah.
So it was one of those things. It was like that, like just going into the innovation thing. Really funny to think about in hindsight. I might go watch YouTube videos later tonight of the Virtual Boy.
They had Star Fox on the Virtual Boy.
Yeah.
You go around with a little ship and shit. That shit was way ahead of its time. You had this big clunky red thing on your face.
Yeah.
Yep.
They had a cool Wario game, didn't they? Also,
they had a Wario game.
Yeah, they had a Wario game. Yeah, I remember that. Wow, that's awesome. Crazy.
I know that we talked about controllers and everything like that, but there were special types of controllers that actually came out.
Third party,
one of them, not necessarily third party, because there were a few of these that were by Nintendo. But do you guys ever hear of the SNES or NES controllers that came out that had the turbo button?
Yes!
Oh, yeah.
The hyper ones, yeah.
The hyper ones, yeah, absolutely. And some of those were legitimate by Nintendo. Like, they were manufactured and everything. But for those of you who don't know, there are certain games that require you to rapid tap A as quickly as possible.
Yep.
With the turbo controller, you can hold down the button and it will actually count as, you know, it'll just press the button for you like a million times a minute.
Right.
And like the turbo made it made for some certain games a lot easier, but it didn't really utilize and like help you out in like a big way, I guess.
Yeah. You know, there was a really weird thing that came out during the GameCube era. I don't know. And there is still to this day people that play Phantasy Star Online.
Yes.
But I don't remember if you guys remember this, but they made a GameCube controller that had a keyboard in the middle of it. A full QWERTY keyboard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Inside of the controller. So it was like, basically, if you were to take the end of the GameCube and stick it on the end of a keyboard, kind of bookend it. It was the weirdest thing, but there was a lot of typing in Phantasy Star Online, and so it was like you can't just move around a screen with a thing. So they needed to add a keyboard to it. And in fact, the Xbox had a little thing too that you could attach to the bottom of the Xbox.
I forgot about the Xbox's little keyboard.
Yeah, the Xbox 360 did this, and could put a little keyboard on there so you could type messages as fast as possible.
Yep.
And it was really good for like really like sending messages to people and telling them to go jump off something. because that's all Xbox bullying. We use used for.
The Xbox bully keyboard.
Yeah, the bully keyboard.
I am so happy that you brought up that accessory for the GameCube, because I'm going to go ahead and say this, that sure, we discussed how the GameCube controller is probably one of the most renowned ones, the most popular ones, and so forth for multiple reasons.
Right.
I am going on record and saying that the GameCube itself had to be the best system when it came to accessories, hands down. Because think about it, the GameCube was Nintendo's first try at bringing the living room console experience and making it portable, being able to bring your GameCube to your friend's house with the black handle that was on it,
because every GameCube had a handle on the
back. Exactly. It was intended for you to be able to bring it to your friends, take it with you on the go. And because of that concept, because of that being the big push of GameCube, GameCube came out with the portable battery pack that would attach to the bottom, right? So think about this. You have GameCube, right, as a system. You have the GameCube controller. Everyone loves the controller. You have the GameCube coming out with, I want to say, the first wireless controllers, like you said, the WaveBirds.
The WaveBirds.
Right? Yeah. Right? You have that. You have the battery pack. You have the keyboard. And I think there's like, I want to say two or three other accessories. Unfortunately, I can't think off the top of my head.
The Donkey Kong Congo. Game.
Oh, yeah, brought the little bongos.
The bongos. Yeah.
There was. I don't remember how many people remember this, but the Joy-Tech, the flip up screen.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
The portable screen.
There was a screen that was an attachable screen.
Yes.
Fit all over the GameCube, and that was a part of being able to bring it somewhere.
Yes, absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely.
But a lot of other games, because I remember the first time I ever saw that, I was playing Destroy All Humans on PS2, and one of my friends, he literally had, like he was, like, watching something on television, but he was there's a tiny screen that I have that connects to my PlayStation that you can use. So yeah, every console awesome. I think had that on a point.
I didn't know that. Okay. All right. So there were two other things that, well, they're the same thing, but they were for two different systems that were both Nintendo.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was the Super Game Boy and the Game Boy Player.
Wow. Yeah,
they basically plugged into either the Super Nintendo or the GameCube. And you could actually play Game Boy games. And then later on, obviously, it was Game Boy Advance games. It wasn't Game Boy games anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I used to love that because playing on a Game Boy used to hurt my eyes as a kid.
Right.
And so I liked to put it up on a big screen. And I used to play those games for hours because I loved my Game Boy games.
Yeah, dude.
Hell yeah.
Listen, GameCube, I want to say hands down, one of the best accessorized consoles in gaming history, hands down,
probably,
new gen included. I want to go ahead and say that off the bat. And
new gen has like nothing anymore.
Oh yeah, of course.
No, this is something I wanted to bring up right now. Okay, because you know how you knew when you were a kid. You want to know, at least for me, you want to know how you knew a motherfucker was cool. You went over their house to play video games, and they had Mad Catz controllers. Fucking, you're sitting in the dark with the neon green, blue, and
the
red.
The neon glowing.
Yeah.
Just glow, and it was just a regular controller. It had nothing special about it, and some of them even lagged. You can look that up. A lot of them fucking just lagged like a motherfucker, but they glowed. And it was cool as shit.
Yep.
You just sit there fucking eating Hot Pockets and playing goddamn with the Mad Catz and shit. And I think Mad Catz should come into the new era of gaming and make PS5 controllers. You heard it here first. Mad Catz, come back. We miss you.
I mean, they have plug-in USB Glow controllers. They think they came out for, I want to say, the Xbox One. I think, or it was a later Xbox version, and PlayStation definitely had them in later gens too.
Yeah.
Maybe not Mad Catz specific, but that's always a thing, man. That's always been like a glowing controller has been like an accessory since it began. Like, it's always been an option. Yeah. Whether it's now popular or not, that's a different story. But
the funny thing is that Mad Catz still makes stuff.
Yeah, they still make shit. I'm just saying.
They make like mice, like gaming mice for
because now everyone's PC, a streamer with a fucking rainbow keyboard and
so that's what I think that's where they kind of stick to
that's so crazy, man. Thinking about the origins of gaming, the generations past, the generations future, how far we've come. Mm-hmm. like you think, like, it all started just between hand-eye coordination, you know what I'm saying, visually having a game be what it is and just being able to play through it and everything like that. But then after a while, people started being like, you know what? What if we can go past just visuals? You know, what if we can feel the game? What if we can, hear it?
Beyond.
Yeah, exactly. What if we can hear it differently? What if we can, that alone, like before there was no such thing as panning in a game. Now that's like a standard to hear footsteps either left or right.
Everything gets better with time.
But like, let's take, for instance, a big thing too. You think about in the past, the Game Boy, gray brick, Game Boys, even the colors, Playing in the dark, you never, not possible. You would have to sit there with a flashlight or some type of light source to see the screen. And they came out with a flashlight that hooked into
a flashlight for the screen.
They came out with a flashlight for the screen.
Yeah, I had that shit too. It was the little clip. It go. It went on like the corner of your Game Boy, and it clipped hard as shit. Like you thought it was gonna break, and fucking, it would. It was like a little bendable, like you would like a desk light or something, and it would go over your Game Boy, and you could play it wherever. But like you would need to fucking constantly put batteries in it.
Yeah. Even and actually thinking about it too, I had this. It was a magnifier. It was a clip that went over the top of the Game Boy.
I remember that,
and then it would have a flip-down little clear, you know, see-through magnifier, and it would make the screen so – like, that saved my eyesight. I'll tell you that right now. but, like, I had that, and on that – actually, oddly enough, on that magnifier, there was a little switch, and it had lights inside of it that would shine on the screen so I could play in the dark, and it would be a bigger look like a bigger screen. So think about it, like all the old shit, you know what I'm saying? Like they said, let's take it a step further. Let's amplify this gaming experience. How can we do that? Let's mess with the senses. Let's really get into touch with everything that you can experience. Let's try to make it as true to life as possible. And you guys are these companies are taking these digital things and making you experience them in more than just a digital way, through touch, through hearing, through sight, obviously. You know, soon enough, hell, I wouldn't be surprised if smell-o-vision, you know?
I'm not even kidding. I seriously and honestly, because they already do exist, but I mean, like, not corporeal. Like, I mean, like, actual, like you could touch and, like, interact. I think that, like, holograms is the next step for us. Like, I'm not even kidding. Like, I'm talking full-on, like, rooms that people are going to charge other people money to come in, holodecks. Like a fucking holodeck.
Well, yeah, the holodeck is ultimate goal. I don't think that's next. That's ultimate goal.
That's ultimate goal. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But, like, it's crazy. It's crazy how we can go from sitting down in front of a screen with a controller, right? We have the console, the game, and the controller. And the controller was always like the thing. Like, that's the thing. Like, how can we amplify gaming with the controller we have on our console? And then they went a step further and said, well, what else can we add on? What else can we play with? How else can we envelop these players into the experience that they're going to have? And it just, it's amazing. It really is amazing, technologically speaking, how we can now, especially now with the new gen, sit here and through all the advances of past generations of gaming, be able to be so immersed in our experiences as gamers. It is a complete just technological feat. And if you can't sit back and appreciate that, then I don't know if you can really call yourself a gamer. And I don't care who that may piss off, but you have to think about it. Like, think about the past, the technology that we had back then, and how everything changed so rapidly too, especially again through the 90s. You know, the 90s were like every 6 months something new was coming out. Every year something was new. Technology was driven so hard and so fast. And here we are in 2021 now. PS5s, Xbox, fucking whatever serial number they want to use, all the new gen shit. And I think that new age gamers take for granted a lot of the features that come now standard, because in the past we didn't have that. We didn't have that shit. There should be a level of appreciation as a gamer at the fact that you can experience so much more than a game just visually. And I think there's a beauty in that. I think that there should be a level of respect and a level of admiration in that. And I am more than excited. Listen, you know, you experience a game however you want to, but sometimes you got to step back. Like, just because you're hiking on a trail doesn't mean you can't stop and look at the mountainside and appreciate the sights. You know what I'm saying? I think that's how it should be for gaming. Sometimes we can sit back and really admire the technology in front of us. And I am completely excited to, like you guys had mentioned, like the holodeck. Like, that's the goal. Like, yeah. I can't wait for that to be, hopefully in my lifetime, like that be the announcement, like, this is it. Boom. You have a unit in the middle of your living room and it turns your entire living room into a fucking holodeck, and you can be in the game. That would be phenomenal.
There was actually a really great game that went in that was a Sega Genesis game called Kid Chameleon. I don't know if anyone played that.
Kid Chameleon.
Yeah, it was a game that like actually. That literally put you into a malfunctioning gaming 3D virtual reality room. And you ended, it was a platformer or whatever, but you ended up putting on different masks to get different powers. There was a samurai and like a skull kid and like all these like weird things or whatever. But the whole thing was that the room itself malfunctioned. It was like, now you're part of the game. If you die here, you die in real life. It was really funny, actually.
Damn.
Yeah. I am more than excited to see what the future holds for us as far as, you know, how we can get more in depth with how we experience our games. So I think we touched on a lot of things that a lot of people may not think of when it comes to gaming. Like we said, you know, the controllers, how the companies pride themselves in it, how that drove designs to be more innovative, and then, you know, people really started getting into tune with players and how the controller felt in their hands, and then obviously all the accessories, how can we amplify gaming. It's definitely a beautiful thing when you really sit back and look at it all. Living through the time that I have, I have an appreciation for it, and I hope that everybody out there does as well. All right, guys, so I think that's going to do it then for us this week on the show. As far as the future holds for us here on the podcast, like I said, make sure you stay in the loop by finding us on social media, Twitter, Party Up Tweets, Instagram, at the Party Up Podcast, and of course on Facebook, search Party Up Podcast to drop us a like on our page or join our group. A lot of things in the works. If you guys have been keeping up, you know the YouTube's about to be released quite soon. I should be able to get some more editing done and have content up within the next couple weeks. I've been mentioning it, and I swear to you, it's going to be there. So hopefully you guys can dive into some of that stuff and really get into all the new stuff we're bringing to the table. We're excited. Jordan, I know that you still are doing everything as far as your vlogs and stuff like that. How can people stay in touch with you and follow all of your content?
You want to go on YouTube and you want to type in 7TV. That's S-E, the number 7-E-N-TV. I am one of the first search results up there, so validate me and everything I do. And then on Instagram, I am Jordan7, spelled exactly the same way. S-E, the number 7-E-N, as well as my YouTube has a specific Instagram that is 7TV official.
Awesome. And John, how about you, man? How can people stay in touch with everything that you contribute to the internet?
Well, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at SomeBeardy2Love. That's the number 2, not spelled out. You can go to GamingAccessWeekly.com for all your favorite news, reviews, and editorials for all your favorite games. And you can go to FableBeardCo.com. Use coupon code SB2L15 for 15% off your entire order. And you can find me on Twitch at twitch.tv/SB2L.
Awesome.
Dave, give us some final words and where people can find you on the internet.
Final words, controllers are great. This has been like the whole thing has been sort of a love letter to Nintendo, right?
Yeah.
Unintentionally, yeah. Dude, just real quick, I want to thank you for your time. You're always a pleasure to have on the show. When you're not being a complete video game nerd like the rest of us, what are you doing? What are you writing? How can people find it and read up on your stuff?
I'm actually writing a Substack right now. I'm not sure if everybody's like into that, but you can subscribe. It's called The Jackal. If you Google David Podowski Jackal, it should work. But the website is www.jackl.co.
Awesome. Fantastic.
Sick. Jackal. Jackal. It's a jackal.
It a jackal?
Jackal.
It's a jackal.
Jackal. Jackal.
It a jackal?
If it wasn't a jackal the first bloody time, why would it be the first? The next one.
Dave, again, man, thank you so much.
Where can they find you on Twitter?
Yeah.
It's DPODUS. DPODUS.
There you go.
All right, guys. Thank you so much.
Yeah, man. Thanks
great
for coming
combo.
By.
Nintendo rules.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the N64 is great, John.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. Take care, buddy.
Later, dude.
That's awesome. I'm so happy David got to join us. Yeah. Fantastic, guys. So that'll be it for us here on the show. A big, big thank you again to our buddy Dave for joining us and inserting his two cents on the conversation. We greatly appreciate his opinion and, of course, his time. So thank you, Dave, again for being part of the show tonight. And thank you for backing me up on the N64 conversation. So that's going to be it. So I, of course, have been your host, Derek Bigmosh. So for John, for Jordan, and for Dave, everybody and anybody that's ever involved with the show, thank you guys so much for tuning in and for listening. And make sure you stay in the loop and catch our new episode next week here, of course, on the Party Up podcast. Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Rest in peace, Flash Player, 1996 to 2021.
Rest in peace.